Can you hear me now? You remember those old commercials that were funny? Oh, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Well, tonight we're going to be talking about the words of the wise. Before we get into the message, I got a couple jokes for you from the master of jokes, Vanessa Fairchild. First one is, what do you call an animal that goes, ooh, ooh? A cow with no lips. Exactly right. Nice job. Nice job. And then next one was, Adam, knock, knock. Arch, excuse you. I didn't say they were good jokes, but they were from Vanessa. So everybody give Vanessa a round of applause. Tonight we're going to be talking about the words of the wise. Words of the wise. You think of what comes to mind when you think of words of the wise? Not Vanessa? Wow, okay. Words of the wise, you think of like maybe Socrates, you think of somebody in history that had some ancient wisdom to give to us, right? We've got a couple things we're going to talk about, but before we get to the message, I want to put a picture up here on the screen, a couple different sports teams we're cheering for. Anybody cheer for these teams? Cheers for Indiana Pacers, raise your hand. Indiana Pacers, okay. Not real big enthusiasm there, but okay. What about Indianapolis Colts? Anybody cheer? Okay. Okay, got a couple fans. How about Indiana? A little less excitement there. How about Notre Dame? I heard a couple boos on that one. How about Purdue? Boo? Are any other teams that are of note that we should cheer for? The Ohio State University? How about Derek's over here doing this? What's that mean? How am I, Miami. What does that mean? Miami? How do you do that? I know what he's doing. Anyways, so teams you cheer for. But what is the most important priority in life? Is it these sports teams? No, it's not these sports teams. What about your job? What about your job? Is that the most important thing? You know, climbing the corporate ladder. And the next picture up here is a picture of somebody climbing the stairs, you know, making more money, getting that next raise, getting that next promotion in your job. Is that the most important thing in life? No, it's not. What about accumulation of money, right? All the money, the wealthiest or the person with the most toys wins, right? No, that's not scriptural. That's not biblical. But that's what a lot of people think, right? A lot of people think the more stuff I have, the more happy I'll be, right? Right? Is this true that we see a lot of players like that are paid millions of dollars to play basketball or football? They accumulate all this stuff, and at the end of the day, what happens to them? They're sad and lonely. Most of the time, they end up being sad and lonely or broke because they didn't know what to do with it. All right, what about the next picture here? We got, there's different social media places you can go, right? You can go to YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all kinds of places you can be, right? It's where we're connected with each other, right? We live in the technology age. Is that the most important thing in this? I mean, if you think about it, 2024 is an awesome year because we can connect to each other through Zoom, through FaceTime, all kinds of fun things. But is that the most important? More importantly than that is talking about our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We're going to get to that tonight. How about taking that dream vacation? What would be your dream vacation? Everybody on the count of three, shout out as loud as you can your dream vacation. One, two, three. I didn't hear one of them, but that's okay. My dream vacation would probably be either a beach or going to New Zealand. Going to that Hobbiton town, the Shire. I think that'd be fun to go to. That's my personal dream. Anyways, so some sayings of the wise. Here's some quotes from different people in history. And these are some sayings that we're going to talk about tonight, but then we're going to get to what's more important than these sayings. These are pretty good sayings, but these are men. In just a moment, we're going to get into God's word. But Abraham Lincoln said this, in the end, it's not the years in your life that count, it's the life in your years. Now, is that a good statement? Yeah, that's something, that's pretty good. How about this one? Steve Jobs says, your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. That's good, right? Don't waste your time living someone else's life. Live life for yourself, right? Or live life for you. All right, what about Winston Churchill? We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. That's some good words right there, right? Good statements. How about this? Anybody know Lou Holtz? Right? Okay, Notre Dame football coach. He said, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. Is that pretty true? I think that could be a pretty truthful statement. Because lots of things happen to many people, but we all react differently to it, don't we? The same thing can happen. It's two individuals, the same exact thing, but they could act and react in totally different ways. Robert Frost said this, in three words, I can sum up everything I've learned about life. It goes on. And I really like that last one because it really focuses on something. Focus on the future, right? No matter what's happened to each and every one of us, no matter what tragedy has struck our lives, no matter what in our lives has come across our perspective, it goes on. And I think this is probably closest to a biblical perspective. It's not a biblical perspective, but it's pretty close. Now let's turn our attention to the source of ultimate truth, God's Word. If you guys got your Bible, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. And in this book, the book of Proverbs, there's sources of strength and wisdom that come from this book. It's primarily the wise sayings of King Solomon. And he's going to give us a couple gems of wisdom here tonight. And we're going to consider some practical areas in our lives and how we can shape how we live each and every day. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. It says there, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness or truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will bring healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. I really love this passage of Scripture because there's so much depth, so much gems of wisdom here that we can glean from tonight. And I got 3 points, like Dave usually has. We're going to have 3 points tonight. The first one is this. We need to keep God's truth. Keep God's truth. Now, I need a couple volunteers to help me out with this first illustration. I need two volunteers to help me out. Xander, come on up here, and what's your name? Drew, come on up here. Come on up here, I need some help. All right, I'm going to blindfold you, Drew, okay? Are you okay with this? Are you sure? Okay, come on up here, Xander. Now, what your job is to do is you're going to get through, you're going to have to walk around the room here and avoid some stuff, but I'm not going to put it up yet until I blindfold you. I'll turn around right there. And then Xander's going to help you walk around the room by using just his voice, okay? Just his voice. And then if it gets too difficult, you can hold his hand, all right? So just a second. I got to put up some obstacles real quick. All right, what you need to do is walk from the back or the front of the room all the way to the back and come back, okay? So, first of all, I want you to try to do this by yourself, okay? Just by yourself, Drew, okay? Start walking. You feel real comfortable? You need to go to the back of the room. The back of the room, as fast as you can. Oh, you hit an obstacle. And it's not even one I placed. Would you like some help, Drew? All right, let's have Xander give you some instruction here. Go ahead, Xander. All right, pause. All right, now hold his hand and see if you guys can do it faster. All the way to the back and then make it back to the front. Whoa, stop. Just stop where you're at. Grab his hand and put your arm out. All right, hold his hand and just follow him. Ready? Go. And come back. And come back. Yep, and he's got to be blindfolded, yeah. All right, everybody give him a round of applause. Good job. You can take the blindfold off now, Drew. Did I tie it too tight? Nice job. All right, nice job. Was that easier? Hey, Drew, was that easier when you're doing it by yourself? Was it easier when he was giving you visual clue or audible clues with his voice? Was it easier when he held his hand? That was the easiest, right? Okay, thank you. All right, you made my point. Good job. So, the point there is I want to make a point that when we have Jesus on our side, walking alongside us, holding our hand, it's so much easier, right? We try to do this life going by ourselves, though, don't we? We try to do our things our own way, and we're blindfolded. We have no idea what's coming in front of us. God has the big picture in mind, right? And with him walking alongside us, we have a relationship with him. He keeps us steady. He keeps us in the right focus. And even when we do trip up, he's there to help us, pick us up, and keep us going, all right? So that was a great visual. Keep in mind, when we go through this journey of life, God is with us every step of the way. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "Keeping God's truth. My son, do not forget my teaching, but have your heart," what? "Comply with my commandments." Or the other translation I read earlier was, "keep my commandments." Right? "Keeping my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to." This is very important to keep in mind. As we go through our journey, we need to have what? Keeping God's commandments in our hearts. Knowing what they are and living by them, right? That's what it means to keep God's commandments. And this heart mentioned in this verse, it says, your heart will keep his commandments. This heart it's the center of who we are, our entire being. Not just part of us, our entirety. Every aspect of our lives should be centered on what? Our number one priority is we are what? Servants of the King. Every single one of us, if we call yourself a Christian, whether you were baptized last week or you were baptized 25, 50 years ago, every one of us should be a servant of the King every single day. Amen? Living every day wholeheartedly for Jesus, not just when we want to. This is every day, every step of the way. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, don't forget the teaching of God's truth. He says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 10, "Now you followed my teaching, conduct, faith, purpose, patience and love and perseverance. Persecutions and sufferings such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of all of them, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who want to live in a godly way in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Verse 13 says, "But evil men," or evil people, "and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And that very well-known verse, 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is inspired by God, beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God will be fully equipped," or fully capable, equipped for every good work. Our lives should be centered around this book. Every aspect of our lives should point to this book. When people see Jesus, Adam, when people see you, they should see Jesus. Derek, when people see Derek, they should see Jesus. Every one of us should say, how can I live more like Jesus? How can I be more like Jesus? How can I live like Jesus would live? When you look at when Jesus, I've said this a couple times, I'm sure you guys heard it before. When Jesus looked and seen the crowds, what did he do? He looked at them and he felt what? He felt something. He felt compassion. He felt compassion in the crowds because he's seen the dire situation they were in, whether it was a physical ailment, whether there was spiritual needs they had. Maybe it was just something they were going through physically, mentally. We don't know. But he felt compassion on those people and he did something about it. So when we look in the people around us, whether at our jobs, at our schools, wherever we are at, every single one of us, as a Christian, we should look at the people around us and feel compassion. Because if they're not Christians, what's the reality? They're on the wrong path. They're on a path towards destruction. And we should help them, steer them, and teach them what the right path is. Every one of us has these opportunities. Sometimes we just miss them, don't we? We're too busy. So my question is for you, are you too busy for spreading Jesus to those around you? God wants our lives to be built on his truth, not our own. Not our own self-designed truth. John 8, verse 32. It says, you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. God wants us to become more like him, not more like we think we should become. Think about that statement. God wants us to be more like him, not like how much we think we should become. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. When Jesus died on the cross, what happened? It was a fragrant aroma to God. This is what it's saying here. It was a sacrifice. It was an offering. A pleasing aroma to God. Why? Because the ransom price had been paid. The blood had been shed for our sins. And that price that was purchased with Christ's own blood made it possible for each and every one of us to be part of God's kingdom. He purchased us back, paying that ransom price that God required. God also wants us to take captive our thoughts and examine the truth of his word, not reinforcing our own ideas. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says this, we are destroying arguments and all arrogance raised against the knowledge of God and taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, I like this statement we have written on our wall at the Woodburn Christian Children's Home. It says, we don't raise victims, we raise what? Overcomers. We raise overcomers in Jesus. No matter what situation the child has gone through, no matter what tragedy in their life has been in their past, we want them to focus on the fact that they can be overcomers in Jesus Christ. Every one of us, if you're a Christian, you are overcomers. You've overcome sin. You've overcome the grave. Even though you're still going to die physically, you overcome those things through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. And we want to make that message be known all the kids that come into our care. I got a second object lesson. I need 4 volunteers for this one. 4 volunteers. Layla, come on up here. I need, what's your name? Colton, come on up here. And Carver. And Isaiah, come on up here. Now, we're going to do a race around the whole room here, guys. We're not going to have a blindfold this time, but you guys are going to work together and see how fast you guys can do this, okay? So I need you guys, it's going to be kind of a relay race. This is something they do. It's called a 4x4, right? And so I need somebody to start right here. And Layla, why don't you go back right to that curtain back there? And Carver, you're going to go to that curtain over there. And Colton, go over here, right over by Logan, okay? So what you're going to do, Isaiah, is you're going to run to Layla. Layla, when he gives you the baton, you're going to take, I'm going to give you a baton in just a second. It's a little thing you're going to carry, okay? And you're going to carry it over to Layla. And Layla, you're going to take that baton and run as fast as you can to Carver. Carver, when you get that baton, you're going to run all the way as fast up here to give it to Colton. And Colton's going to come right back here and finish line right here. Okay? You guys ready to do this? Okay, now be careful. This is a heavy baton. Okay? Got it? Okay, good. Like strong muscles? Let me see it. Okay, there you go. Okay, let's give them a countdown. You guys ready? Everybody ready? You guys know what you're doing. Raise your hand if you don't know what you're doing. Okay, good. All right, you ready? On a count of 3, where are you going? Go that way. Going to go around the room, okay? All the way around, okay? Carver, you're going to go around this way. You got it? Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1, go! Woo! Cheer him on, guys, cheer him on. Woo! Woo! Let's go, let's go, let's go. Finish strong right here, right here, right here. Finish strong. Woo! All right, good job. Let's give those guys a round of applause. Nice job. So it brings me to my next point, is we need to be sharing the truth of God to others. So we need to keep the truth, right? We also need to share God's truth. And just like they pass the baton around the room, we pass the baton of our faith. We pass the baton of our relationship with Jesus Christ to others, okay? We're cheering them on around in their race, right? Because everybody's got an individual race, but every one of us has to pass that baton to somebody else. And what's neat about my family is I've passed the baton to my kids, right? My race is not complete yet, but I'm giving the baton to my kids. And the same thing happened to me. My mom and dad gave the baton to me. My mom passed away from this life. Her race is done. Her race is complete, right? And I'm continuing on running the race. And hopefully she's cheering me on from glory, right? And every one of us has the opportunity to share God's truth to others. And we need to remember that's the most important part of our lives. Sharing God's truth. Keeping it, but not just keeping it to ourselves. Knowing it, but then sharing it. Continue reading there in Proverbs 3, verses 3 through 4. It says there, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart, so you find favor and good repute in the sight of God and men. Now, regardless of what the world says, there is still people in this world who are searching for something deeper. People out there are searching, wanting to know the truth. We just have to go tell them about it. The only truth that is found, the absolute truth, is found in who? Jesus. Absolute truth is found. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me, John 14, verse 6. But they can only know the truth as believers, as we, Christians, share with them the truth that is the Word of God. Now, truth by its own definition is very narrow. Don't we know this, Mr. Burton? We know that truth is very narrow, right? There's lots of different answers on many different tests, right? But there's only one right answer, right? Now, some of them are based on interpretation of answers. But if there's a true and false, there's always one right answer. If it's a multiple choice, there's always one right answer. Not multiple, right? There's exceptions to that sometimes. But most of the time, there is only one answer, okay, in life, okay? And it's called absolute truth. The source of ultimate truth is Jesus Christ. So when we talk to others about ultimate truth, absolute truth, we need to remind them you can have your own opinion, but you can also have the opinion and be wrong, right? Every one of us has the capability of being wrong. I have the capability of being wrong, okay? Even though I'm trying to live my life in accordance with what God said, I can still be wrong. I've been corrected. I've had false opinions at times, and I've had to change my mind. Just ask my wife. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says this, but sanctifies Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. But do this with gentleness and respect. That verse there, Peter's telling us that we need to be ready to make a defense of what we believe in, right? We need to be ready to share our faith with others, whether at school, whether at work, whether we're playing, whatever we're doing, being ready to share the truth. But not just hitting them over the head with the Bible. We do it with what? Gentleness and respect. You know, there's times that people are ready to hear the truth. A perfect opportunity for that is when there's a passing away of a loved one. That's a perfect opportunity to share answers to eternity. Because that question almost always arises, whether the person was a Christian or non-Christian. That question that people are asking, what comes next? Right? What comes next? That's a perfect opportunity to open that door and share with them the truth that's in God's Word. Now, some people, they slam the door right in your face, right? They just slam, it's not, that door's not there. I mean, but you should just keep your foot in the door and say, hey, I'd love to talk to you about this. When you're ready, know that I care about you, and I'd love to continue the conversation with you. Don't just keep blurting the word, because if they're not ready to hear it, they're just going to shut you down again. I said, I never want to talk to you about it. But if they know you care, they'll maybe come back and have that conversation and continue the conversation later. Maybe you're going to college. Maybe you're having a conversation at the lunch table with some friends. Those are perfect opportunities to talk to other people. Hey, you know, what happens after this life? What do you know? You know, maybe it's in a science class. You're talking about the evolution versus creation debate, right? That's a perfect opportunity to talk about what you believe in and then ask them their opinions. I love to hear what other people think, right? I love to hear these different perspectives. And then if you listen to other people, what are they most likely to do? Listen to you, right? So if you give them opportunity and ask them questions to see where they believe, see their perspective, and then you have the open door. Hey, I see what you believe. Can I share with what I believe? And most of the time, if you've already listened to them, they'll be ready to listen to you. Not always, but most of the time they will. But true freedom only comes from knowing the truth, and that truth is found in God's Word. And like we said earlier, truth is what you need to be, how you get set free. Sharing the good news of the gospel isn't simply a suggestion. It's not optional as Christians. This is it's an obligation, right? We as Christians should be sharing this every single day. Jesus commands us that we need to be heart changers in this world. We need to be disciple makers in this world. We need to change our hearts and our minds together for Christ. And it's an honor to be able to share the good news of God's grace, isn't it? It's a great opportunity to share the good news. If you've ever had the opportunity to walk somebody from not being a Christian to being a Christian, wow, there's not much better than that in this life. There's really not. Walking somebody, you know, to not having a knowledge of who Jesus is, to them understanding that light bulb hitting, you know, understanding happening, and then becoming an obedient follower for the rest of their days, being a Christian, wow. There's not much better than this planet. And we, as God's followers, we need to love God's word so much that we can't keep it to ourselves, right? We got this book in our hearts. It's overflowing in our spirits. We need to be sharing this every single day of our lives. And it's the one message that never grows old, right? It's the one message in this planet that never grows old. You know, there's lots of headlines, you know, they come and go, right? I don't even know who won Purdue game today. I don't even know. Does anybody care? But that is news, but then it's old news, right? If they win or lose, it's old news, right? But God's word never fails. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says this, "The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever." This book will endure the test of time. This book is found the eternal plan of God's salvation for man. And this will test throughout history. People have tried to burn this book. People have tried to eliminate this book, but it's still here. There's more. This book has been distributed more nowadays through technology and the than it ever has in the history of the planet. There's also the most people that's ever lived on the planet now. All right, I need Brock to come up here. I'm going to do one more object lesson this evening. This is a dangerous stunt, so I'm going to get somebody that, you know, he knows what he's doing. You know, it could involve a broken bone, possibly. You just want to be careful, you know. So we're going to do this carefully. But, yeah, anyways, this is called the trust fall. Anybody know what this is? Trust fall? Where he's going to stand one side looking that way, not looking behind him, and he's going to fall, just going like this, back. And his hope is I'm going to catch him, right? His hope, right? Are you scared to do this? Huh? Switch it? Yeah. No. I have trust in I can catch him, but I don't trust that he can catch me. So, all right. We're going to do this trustful. Ready? Go. Nice job. Well done. That's it. Everybody give him a round of applause. Good job. It's funny, years ago, my dad did that with my sister, and she did it during the sermon, but then afterward, in the parking lot, she tried to do it again. Dad wasn't looking. Wham! I had a good laugh out of it. I don't think anybody else did, but. The final point this evening is we need to trust in God's word. We keep God's word in our hearts. We share God's truth with other people, but we also need to trust in God's word with our entire being. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will bring healing to your body and refreshment to your bones." Trust in the Lord. This is an inward faith, an inward trust, but outward obedience. If we truly trust in the Lord, we're going to reflect that on our outside. We're going to do something about it, right? We're going to act out our faith. Think about it. When you trust anything, you put faith in it. Brock put faith in me that I was going to catch him, and he was going to go wham on the stage here. People got a laugh out of it, but he would have woke up with a headache probably. Ultimately, we can trust God because why? He created us. He sustains us, and he's preparing a place for us. And also, every promise he's made in his word has come true or is yet to come true in the future. Trust and obey that good old hymn, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. A college physics professor was demonstrating the scientific qualities of a pendulum. Do you guys know what an untouched pendulum will do? An untouched, once it's released, an untouched pendulum will do what? It'll swing in ever-decreasing arcs, right? So you guys know what a pendulum is, right? On a grandfather clock, it's the thing that swings back and forth. That's a pendulum, right? But that's an ongoing, it's continually motion pendulum. That's not an untouched one. So an untouched one, if it's going to start swinging, and it's untouched, it's going to continuously swing in ever-decreasing arcs. It's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. So he was trying to prove this in a class. So he tied a chain to the ceiling of his room, and he attached a bowling ball to this chain somehow. And he moved it to one side of the room, and he was going to swing it from one side of the room to the other. And he said, I want one volunteer to come up here and stand right here, and I'm going to put the bowling ball right to your nose, and I'm going to release it, and you're going to stand there and wait to see if it comes hits you. Anybody want to volunteer? Nobody wanted to volunteer in this class. Do you think anybody took the challenge? No, nobody did. Nobody took that challenge. Isn't that a lot like us sometimes in our faith? We know the facts. We know that this is scientifically possible, or we know the reality of who God is, but do we trust in him? Well, remember, trust without obedience, without action, is meaningless, James talks about, right? Faith without action is what? Dead. So in the college professor, nobody wanted to do that experiment. They were unwilling to put it to the test, but that's like us sometimes in a relationship with God. We know the facts, we believe in him, but we're unwilling to take a risk of faith based on those facts. Remember, trust without obedience is no trust at all. Proverbs chapter 3 reminds us of some things we need to do. Trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him, and he will make our paths straight. We need to remember God's truth, keeping God's truth, sharing it, and also trusting in it. We might say, it's too hard, or I'm too busy for God. But saying this in our walk with our Christian brothers and sisters, and in relation to the world that's dying, it'd be like a lifeguard who remembers all the techniques, and then sees somebody drowning in the pool. They know what to do, but what do? Nothing. They sit and watch. It's the same thing. We have the life-saving message. We have the life-saving avenue. It's not us. We just have the life-saving buoy. What do you call those things? Life preserver. Thank you. We have a life preserver ready to throw to them. But when we don't talk to them, we don't have that conversation with somebody, we're just watching people drown, going on their way to destruction. Shame on us. Shame on me when I have failed to share the message of hope with those who need it. So what is most important to you right now? I'm going to go back to my first little slide there about different things. You don't have to go back there, but just remind yourself of this. What's most important to you right now? Is it stuff? Things of this world? Or is it being a fellow servant of the King of Kings, pointing others to have a relationship with him? We serve the creator of the universe, the savior of mankind, the King of Kings, the greatest king that's ever walked this planet. What an awesome privilege to be the royal priesthood for Jesus Christ. We need to not forget that we are servants of the King, sharing the greatest message that's been given to us, to be given to mankind. We are God's ambassadors to the world. Never forget this. It is up to us. It is our obligation as Christians to share the truth of his word. But is it possible for us to go through our days careless? Yeah, it is. We go through our days thought, we don't think about others. Is that possible to walk through every day, not think about others? Yeah, it's possible. But it's very selfish. We live a lot of selfish lives, don't we? I know I've lived a lot of selfish days in my life. I'm 37, I think we figured out, right? I'm 37? 36. I'll be 37 this year. And I've lived a lot of selfish days in my life. I'm not proud of that. I want to live my life selflessly, selflessly, there you go, selflessly for others, where I can show, teach, and be an example for others around me. What would the community of Harlan look like? What would the city of Fort Wayne look like? Woodburn, wherever you live. What would that city look like if we were all living every single day asking this question? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in your workplace? What would Jesus do in your school? What would Jesus do with the tools and resources you have at your disposal? What would he do? Some of us, we need to change a little bit, right? We need to walk a little bit more in a line with God. We need to align our wills with his. Remember, it's not that we want Jesus to join our team, right? We're not getting Jesus, you know, come on, Jesus, come join my team. No, we need to recognize we need to join Jesus' team. Jesus already got the team. We just got to get on his team, right? We have to get on God's team, not try to get him on our own team. What would be the result of all the church members here at Harlan would live like this? What would Jesus do every single day of our lives? I think we would live a little bit differently. Wouldn't you say? Think so. Our perspectives would change. Our situations, our focus, our perspectives would change a little bit. So are you ready to commit to a new life of discipleship? I'm asking for a commitment tonight. Let's challenge ourselves this week to live life a little differently, more like Jesus. Are you ready to imitate Jesus, to live more like him? Are you ready to do what he would do? Are you ready to walk in his steps? And as we conclude this evening, remember, those 3 points. Keep God's truth in our hearts, but sharing God's truth with the world and trusting, knowing God has prepared a place for us to be faithful forever. It's up to us to live like Jesus every single day. Where is Jesus in the midst of your life? Is he number 3 in the priority list? Is he number 5? Or is he number way down to number 10 or 24 or something like that? He should be number 1. In every decision you make, Jesus should be number 1. He is our daily bread. Jesus is where we get true contentment. Jesus is all we need. If we have him, you really have enough. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you don't need a lot of other things. When it comes to priorities in life, have you put Jesus first? When you do, you put Jesus first, you will find true peace. You will find true contentment for your soul for the rest of your days. So like Dave opened up this year, 2024, let's love Jesus more in 2024. Let's love Jesus a little more in 2024. There's a plan of salvation that God has said in his word. We need to believe in Jesus. We need to believe that he exists, that he died on the cross for our sins. John 3:16, we know that verse, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him will not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. You have to believe in Jesus. But it's not just the fact that you believe it. You have to do something about it. You have to repent. You have to change your mind. Change your heart. Live a little different for Jesus. Living not for yourself, living for him. You need to confess Christ in your life. Not just with your words, but your actions. Every aspect of our lives, we need to confess Jesus, who he is. And then you need to be immersed. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And then we need to live a faithful life for him. Are you ready to do that tonight? Are you ready to make that commitment to him? It's up to you. You have the choice. Each and every one of us has this choice to make, whether you're going to live for Jesus or live for yourself. And also those who have not or already made that decision, maybe we need to live a little more like Jesus. Make the commitment tonight. Challenge yourself. I want to live more like Jesus tonight.
All right, if you all can please stand. We're going to sing 2 verses of